Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the home front. I have to be from the home front today because I have some cooking I have to do, and I decided this morning when I got up I was going to get on the internet and do something with my my book, which I haven't really yet done, but I have to say that I have emailed quite a lot of people this morning, and now it's afternoon, so when you change your show at like 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, which I did Tuesday night because I remembered I had running around to do Wednesday, I was like, I'm never going to be able to call and talk on the phone while I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be in Brooklyn because I was picking up all the food. So anyway, so the weather, let's see. Winter? Yes, I would say it's still winter. In fact, I was driving home on Tuesday night, and it was raining, it was raining, it was raining, it was raining all day. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at the rain in front of my car as I'm getting ready to turn. And I'm looking at the raindrops, and they're getting a little dense and looking a little funny. And then I realized it was snowing. I can't even tell you. I cannot take any more winter. I'm done. Winter has to be finished now. So we're supposed to get up into the 60s. Or at least 60 today or, tomorrow. And then jumping right back down to 30. I have to tell you, 30 is just too cold for me. Even 50 is too cold for me. Personally, I like it like 76 and better. So winter is lingering, which it does every single year anyway. Like, this is news to us because this is the way it's been going for, what, the past 6 years? Anyway, did we say pole shift? Have I not said pole shift a million times? And actually, technically, I've only been doing this radio show for 3.5, almost 4 years. Or maybe it's 4.5 years. Wait, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, 5.5 years. And in those 5.5 years, all I can say is that we've had a pole shift. And I know this because we keep talking about it. We, me, hence, me. So anyway, cold weather? I think that New York is just destined to be cold from now on. And if we do have a summer, it's, you know, it's just not a pleasant, warm, fuzzy kind of, I don't know, it doesn't make me happy. Like I said, 76 or better. And I'm just thinking where to go. And I don't want to go to Florida. Everybody in my family is going to Florida. I don't want to do that. Anyway, so there you have the weather. So I have to tell you, I was driving home the other day. So I've been doing a lot of driving. I've been running around a lot. And so I'm not doing work on my art stuff. I've been running around doing family stuff because it's the holidays and because my mom is in town and because there's all sorts of stuff going on. And so I've been running around, and when I'm in the car a lot, I think a little bit differently. It's like my head is just running. So I guess I'm thinking about other things. So one of the things I was thinking about, too funny, and now I can't think about what I was thinking about. That's good, right? So I'm driving around, and I'm seeing cars all around me, and I see some cars, like it was late at night, and there was one car in particular that was just packed with people. I think it was all guys. But it made me think about the days when I used to go clubbing, when I really would go clubbing with my friends. Now, I still go clubbing, but it's not nearly as often as I would like it to be, and I think I do it far more in the summer, in warm weather, than I do in the winter, because, I don't know, it's just, I don't like winter, I just hibernate, and I have to tell you, I really did hibernate this winter quite a lot. So I'm like looking at these guys, and I'm driving home, I was in the city, so I'm driving home, and I'm taking Queens Boulevard, and there I am looking at all these guys in this car, and I'm thinking, you know, about those days and what it was like. You know, your friends would come, they'd pick you up, everybody would be in, like, everybody would be in sync. So, you know, if I was wearing X, they were wearing Y and Z. It's like everybody was, like, very comparable. It wasn't like, you know, you always ask that silly question, what are you wearing? It's really funny because when I've asked people that, you know, going forward recently or in the near past, they're always like, since when do you care what other people are wearing? And I'm always thinking, well, you want to kind of fit in, or it's not a fit-in thing. Let's change that word. You want to be appropriate with everybody else. So it's like I don't want to be in jeans and cowboy boots if everybody's in, like, dresses and suits. Okay, that's basically what I'm saying. So I don't mind being casual, and I do casual very well, and I do casual all the time. But I like getting dressed up. But the thing is, like, sometimes you say business attire, and I don't always know what business attire is, because my business is my studio. You know, I get dressed, I go, and I take my clothes off, and I change. So the minute I get there, whatever I'm wearing, I wore it for 10 minutes, and then it's off, you know, and I'm wearing my painting clothes. So, you know, things can, it's very relative, okay? Let's just say that, it's very relative. So here I am just staring at this car, and my mind is just wandering, and all I'm thinking about is like the day when everybody would be in cahoots and they'd call you up and everybody would pile into one car and you'd go and you'd be out all night or whatever. And then there was always the rule, you always went home with everybody that you went out with, you know. You never leave your friends, and if you meet someone that you really want to be with, you make a plan and then you meet them after, but you don't go home with anybody. Everybody always goes home together. And everybody always, you know, ends up dropping somebody off, and then there's usually a handful of people that still, it's just the way it used to be. It's not like that anymore. Now it's like everybody goes out on their own and they meet at the place. So everybody is the designated driver. There's no one designated driver. You're driving yourself home. It's like, I'm the designated driver all the time. So it's like, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. And when I try to make plans with certain people, and I'll be like, listen, why don't you meet me or pick me up, or I'll pick you up and we'll go in one car, we'll go together. And everybody's like, no, I don't want to do that. What if I want to leave? It's like rules have changed. It's not what it used to be. That's what I'm saying, basically. And I miss those days. I have to tell you. You know, unless you're like in a relationship and you're going home together, you're going out together, it's a very different animal. Maybe just being single lately sucks. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Dating a lot, single. I don't know. And the thing is, I never even think about it. I never care. I just don't think about it. And now it's like I'm looking at certain things. I'm like, well, you know what? Spring is upon us, and this is always the time of, like, rejuvenation, and everything's budding, everything's fresh, although it's still too cold for things to be budding, although I'm seeing buds on trees, but, you know, those trees are still shivering in their roots. That's the way that goes. Anyway, so enough of that. So I was watching, I've been DVRing everything. I've become like a DVR maniac, and I have to tell you, I have to keep deleting stuff because I look at it and it's like 78%, and I'm like, oh, I don't have enough room. And it's funny because I'm always the glass is half full. Oh, I guess that would make sense. So 78, and I'm thinking, ooh, it's almost full. I guess that's exactly, oh, I'm such an optimist. Oh, I love that. So, yeah, so I look at it, and I'm like, oh, 78%, I better take some stuff out because I'm not going to have enough room because it's full. And, you know, so I'll watch something, and then I'll delete it. But I have to tell you, there are a handful of things that I don't want to delete because I've watched them a few times, you know. And one of the things that I've been, like, really hooked on is Ancient Aliens. I'm loving this. So they talk about, like, all these various things. And one of the things that we were talking about was the pyramids. And they're explaining now a new theory. And I have to tell you, I don't think it's so quote-unquote new, but the theory is that the pyramids, the ones that are empty, that never had a tomb, you know, that they're tombs, but they never had a body in them, they're saying they were power plants. And then they're, like, showing you, like, an X-ray of the pyramids. This is so cool. So you're looking at the pyramid in X-ray, and they're showing you all these vents and holes and various pathways. You know, some are going up in a diagonal, some are going across, straight across the bottom, and they're jagged, they're bouncing lines. It's not like a heartbeat, but like levels. So the line will start horizontally, and then it'll bump up directly, like vertically, and then it'll go back to horizontal, and then it'll come down, and then it'll go back, and then it'll go back up. And they were saying that they used to put water, like water would go through, and they would pulse the water and the water would hit the bottom and vibrate the pyramid, and that in the vibration that something would happen energetically, and there would be like a power source, so it would be like a power plant. It was really interesting. So they're showing you how this could work. And then they start going into like the details of the archives. So they go in and they look at it and they say, well, first of all, there's no soot from flame. So they had a power source, they had a light, and then they're looking at the hieroglyphs and they're saying, these are light bulbs. And they're like, so they had light bulbs back then. Like, you're talking 2,000 years ago, right? It's like, okay, that's cool. And then they're showing you how the power plant actually worked. And they're talking about the vibration of the actual pyramid and that there's damage from a vibration. And on the lower levels, there's actually water damage, you know, like water erosion. And so they talk about all these various different things and how the vibration would shake the pyramid, and then they can look at it and excavate it enough to say, okay, this is what this is. This is this, and that is that. So I kind of think that's really cool. And so now the other thing that we're talking about were batteries, and that the first batteries were made, and they were in the Middle East. And in certain Arab nations, and so they're finding these really cool clay vases, you know, something that's probably six or 7 inches tall, and they're urn-like shaped, right? So they come up, and they're round at the top, and then they found that there's like a filament, and then some kind of other clay piece, and copper, and that they would wrap it with copper, and these things are batteries. And I'm like, going, that's so cool. So 2,000 years ago, and you know, it doesn't surprise me. When you're on the planet for 10.5 million years, that's correct, that's what I said, 10.5 million years, because of the things that I read, this is what I have learned, and I believe it. So 10.5 million years, you have to think that there's cycles, you know, it's like what goes around comes around, right? It keeps on changing. Hence, bell bottoms and the 70s clothing line, right? So that was so popular then, and then all of a sudden, bell bottoms were like the rage, right? Now, high rise pants are back in. I hate that. Having a tiny waist and hips, high rise, they don't do anything for me. When they created low rise, I was like, yes, that was it, that was the style. So I will be sticking with that. I won't be changing to the high rise. But it's like there are things that just cycle around and around and around and around and around and around. Okay, so I believe that then they were, oh, so they were also showing that there was a computer, that there was a, that the computers were already like invented. There was a first computer. I love all that stuff. It's like you look at it and you're like going, okay. So they're showing the first computer ever, and it's a beast. It's a huge mechanism. So we had batteries, we had light bulbs, and we had a computer. Well, computers. And now they're finding them, digging them up, and they're like, oh, 2,000 years old and blah. So, yeah, I totally believe that. So I think that's really, really cool. So I love the Ancient Alien show because it just gives you historical fact. And then they're proved the fact. I mean, why would they put the show on, right? It's like you watch anything and you're waiting for the outcome. If they didn't have a viable outcome to support their theory, then the show wouldn't be aired in the first place, right? Maybe. Because Oak Island is another one of those things. It's like there's something and they keep going and keep looking and they keep looking and they keep looking. Like, we're down there, but we can't get there. Can't get there from here. Anyway, so that was the interesting factoid for today. So I have to tell you that I rescheduled my show. Now, we all know that I reschedule my show fairly often because, you know, sometimes Wednesdays get a little too hectic and I can't do the show on Wednesday. So for the first time ever, I just put the time wrong. So I apologize for the total confusion. But anyway. So I went and I saw the painting in its new spot, and I have to tell you, I loved it. It looks so good there on that wall. And now they're like going to be moving furniture and stuff, and all I'm thinking is like, they might have to, I don't know, raise it up a little bit. I don't know if you can. Now, here's the thing I'm thinking. Okay, so we have planned obsolescence. We have urban planning, although nobody really urban plans anymore. They just decide that they're going to create something, build something, but nobody has any foresight the way they used to. And I say this in a sad way, because it's like, if you're going to create something, you have to look at all the variables and say, this is going to affect, this is going to affect, this is going to affect. And then there's like a chain reaction that happens. So when Bloomberg, that moron, came into New York and said, I'm going to move all the parking into the middle of the street and I'm going to change all the regulations. Well, when it snows, and God knows we've had tons of snow, the one or two lanes become one lane. Everything narrows and nothing moves. So, I mean, where's the foresight in that? What he thinks this is London. So, oh, it's London. We're going to create a London feel. Get out of town. It's not London. And then and then they put all those stupid bike lanes everywhere. And those bikers don't follow the bike lanes. That makes me crazy. I know. I'm just having a little... Yeah. Okay. So... talking about urban planning. So the apartment I live in, my ceilings are high, probably 10 feet. Okay? So I have to say that when they're building buildings, what is the difference? I mean, what would be such a big deal to raise the ceiling 1 foot? Okay? So if the frame of a door is supposed to be, let's say, 6 feet or 6.5 feet, or a doorway should be, say, 7 feet, and the ceiling should be 8 feet, right? When you box someone in like that, I have to tell you, there's something really huge about one extra foot. So if you made all the ceilings 9 feet, it just opens the space up so much better. I mean, 1 foot, it's not that big a deal, you know? So if the thing is, okay, so you're going to build a building, a hotel or a condominium or whatever. So say you're going to have 100, well, no. Say you're going to have 10 stories or 15 stories. What is one extra foot? You're talking 10 feet or 15 feet taller. Now, I know that there are probably regulations. Okay, well, you can't go X amount of airspace because, you know, all those permits and stuff. And so you're allowed to go certain height. So take off one floor and add a little bit more. I mean, I don't think that that's such a big deal, but it really changes the whole perspective of the apartment and apartment living. You know, it's like, this is your house. When I build my own house, and I will build my own house, and it'll be sooner than later, I'm going to make sure that my ceilings are high, that they're going to be at least an extra foot to 2 feet taller. Maybe it's an artist thing that visually I find it, but I have to tell you, you can't have a studio with low ceilings because then you can't move anything. And it's really difficult to paint and work when the ceilings are low. So one of the things about being an artist, is that they always, it's like the given, oh, the ceiling space, oh, 12-foot ceilings, 15-foot ceilings. And you're like, oh, that's excellent. So in my studio, my ceilings are, I think they're 15 feet. Because I remember when I designed the storage unit and where I put all my paintings, I remember when I was originally measuring it up, it was 7 feet before the first level. And then I have about another, no, maybe I made it 8 feet. Yes, 8 feet, and I have about, oh, actually, I don't know now that I'm thinking about it. You know what? It's like 15, it's 12 to 15 feet. I think it's 15. I'm pretty sure. You know, you have a high, I know that sounds really funny. It's just one of those things. I have to tell you, one extra foot ceiling-wise, it's expansive. It really gives you a pop. It just makes the space so much better, you know. Just a simple little thing. Something simple is that. I don't know. It just makes me extremely happy. Yeah, that's it. Yay. So, anyway. So, I have to say, the other thing that I did this week, because everybody always asks me about all my plants because of my green thumb and how much I love all living things. So I repotted four plants. So I repotted four of my plants. And so now actually I have two that I'm thinking of giving away, and I know exactly who's going to get one and not sure who's going to get the other. Trying to figure that out. Who wants a plant? Anyway, so I repotted all these plants, and one of the plants that I repotted is one that flowers constantly. It's a begonia. And it's, you know, there's so many variations of begonia. I happen to like the yellow-flowered begonias, I think, the best. And then the next would be the red ones, you know. But there's a particular begonia that I always look for, and it grows. It's very tight-knit. And my cat's about to throw up. Oh, excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Stay right there. Stay right there. That was a lot of hair. So I have to get one of those Furminators for my kitty, and I have to definitely give him a brushing. Stay right there. Anyway, so that was kind of gross. At least he wasn't walking around doing his whole icky thing for the longest time. And now he's in my kitchen with me. I guess when he's ready to throw up, he has to be in the kitchen. He has to be wherever I am because he doesn't like to be alone. That's okay. Don't step in it. Anyway, so there you have it. Now I get to clean up cat puke. That's really disgusting. Oh, that's really disgusting. Anyway, and on my new floor. On my new floor. But like I said, it's tile, so that's actually not a bad thing. It could be so much worse. Where was I? Oh, what were we talking about? The space. Well, now I can't remember at the moment. It'll come back to me. Sidetracked as I always get. The plants. So we're talking about my plants. Okay. So I ended up redoing. So I repotted four of these plants, and they're gorgeous. And oh, that was really disgusting. So the begonia that I like the best is this, it grows in a way that it's leaf on leaf on leaf. And so what happens is it's so tightly dense that you can't ever get in there and clean off all the little dead bits because, you know, things die all the time. And that's okay, you know, part of nature. But this begonia is growing like a tree. It's like, now it's got five stems coming up from the bottom, and it's just so tall. Now, I don't know. Yes, I know, Virge. I don't know if it's like different in general, you know, that maybe it's just things just grow so well around me that I don't always know. Come back here. So I don't know, but I'm looking at it, and it's just getting taller and taller. So I had to repot it because what happened was it was falling over. It was so heavy, and it was so tall. And all my experience, all the begonias I've ever seen, they've just gotten, like, thicker and thicker and thicker, and I like that. That's the begonia I'm always looking for, and I can never find it. And the funny thing is they don't usually last. Well, in my house, that's the one plant that just doesn't live, which is really bizarre to me. I never understand that. So come on in here. I have to give him some treats to help settle his little belly. Come here. Come here. Anyway, so that's the plant story. So I repotted my, what is this? It's a ginger plant. It's a red ginger plant. It's never flowered. But I have to tell you, it grows like a weed. It's so tall, and so what happens is every now and then I prune it back, and then I throw them in soil, and so now I have a new one coming up altogether. And one of the plants that dies all the time on me, which has rejuvenated itself five or six times, now has like five new shoots. So this thing did really well, and then it got some kind of really funky fungus. And it died, but meanwhile, it didn't completely die. So I was able to dig it up and throw it back in water and re-root it. And I've done that now three times. So if it doesn't take this time, and it's growing again. It's got new shoots, and the piece that I took off is also growing. And all I'm looking at is like, if it gets that fungus, if it comes back, if I can't, I'm done. I'm not going to, I know I say that, but then I feel guilty. So the most wasted emotion, guilt. Oh, yeah, don't you love that? Then I'll have to throw it away, and I'll say, that's it, I'm done with it. But, yeah, so there you go. So my plants are thriving, even though it's freezing. I guess my kitchen is a bit warmer. It's the one window in the house I never open because it's on the fire escape. So it's locked, and it's sealed, and it's got, like, you know. I always say if I have a party, I'll take the plants off this ledge and open this window, and then people can go out and sit on the fire escape. But then that's never happened. So moot point, shall we say. Moot point. Anyway, so when I'm done with this show in about 4 minutes, I'm going to actually make the matzo balls, and I'm going to make the haroset. And I'm making a new recipe. I'm trying something completely different. It's a Syrian recipe from my friend, and actually it's from my friend's grandmother. And so I'm going to be trying something completely different, and I'm very excited about it. Anyway, so there you have it. So this morning, like I said, I was emailing all these people, and I'm trying to be really proactive. I'm going to start sending my book out again. And it was because I was out last night, and they were like, okay, my friend was like really enjoying the book, and all she kept saying was, okay, you really have to get this published. And I've been told that, and I know this for a fact, but I never do anything about it. So, well, that's not completely true. I have submitted it to many, many, many places, and I never hear back. And now there's two things about this. Number one, some people get so much email that it goes into their, or they get so much email they don't look, they don't notice. Or it goes into a spam file and it's never seen. So it's how to get noticed. How do you get the email sent to the right person and have them actually see it? Now, I've sent it to a few people thinking they were publishers and being told, oh, my God, we'll so carry this and we'll sell it. And then I'm like, okay, so can you publish it? And then I get back an email, oh, we don't publish. We'll carry it, but this is really good. So once you get it published, we'll sell it for you. So I have two people that are willing to sell it. I just don't have anybody yet offering to publish. So that's where I'm at with that. So if anybody listening knows of a publisher, please send me the information, because I have a book that is ready to be published, ready, done, finished, completely signed, packed, sealed, and ready to be delivered. So any help would be really fabulous. Anyway, so my mother was telling me yesterday, she's like, listen, what you should do every single day, the only thing that you should be doing is getting up in the morning and saying, this is my business, and getting out there and getting somebody to represent you and sell your work for you, because you cannot sell it yourself. And I'm thinking, you know, I've been making prints and selling prints. Oh, see you in 90 seconds. And she seems to think that selling prints is not the way to go. And I have to tell you, don't you think it's better to sell 100 for 150 or 200, I mean, like rounded even, right? So for you're selling 100 for 200 versus 1 for 1,000. You know, you see the difference? The difference is that after I sell 100 for 200, I still have the original. So in 60 seconds, you do the math. It seems like Americans only want prints, and all everybody else, Europeans and foreigners alike, all want original artwork. I like that. Except for the handful of New Yorkers that have purchased my artwork. That seems to be the way it goes. Anyway, so I will, in the last 10, 15 seconds, tell you happy, healthy Passover, happy, healthy Easter. Enjoy the holidays. Happy birthday to all those people that I missed. My friend Levent, I missed your birthday, so happy birthday to you. And everybody have a fabulous weekend. I think it's going to be warm. Don't quote me. Don't quote me on that, because I have to tell you, I don't know. My you know, the weather people this year, I have to tell you, they all were wrong. They were so off this whole winter. Oh, we're not going to get snow. We're going to get snow. We're going to get snow. We're not going to get snow. And, you know, vice versa. Anyway, that's how that seemed to go. So, this is Lisa Lisa of The Lisa Lisa Show saying thank you so much for listening. Happy, healthy to everybody. Enjoy a beautiful weekend, and I will be back with you on Wednesday next week. Same bat time, regular bat channel. Thank you so much. Bye.